In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the last three Sundays, in the spiritual snacks that we share after the main service, I've been talking through the words and the actions and the rationale of our common worship, our communion worship. We say things, and we do things, and we mean things in our Holy Communion service in order to bind things together, hoping and trusting that when particular intentions and actions and declarations converge, extraordinary things happen. That can misfire, sometimes bringing together a big basket of gestures and words and purposes just generates confusion. Sometimes, though, a majestic marriage of many elements makes marvelous music. Think of a choir or an orchestra. More humbly, a big band. Put together a piccolo, a bass drum, a flugelhorn, a viola, a harp, and dozens of their musical siblings and cousins. With the imagination of a Tchaikovsky or a Mahler, and the grandeur of the symphonic composition can take the breath away from even such a lowbrow rock and roller as I. Today, the church throws at us a heap of liturgical ingredients, such as would challenge even the most expert theological iron chef. Our parish observes Mothering Sunday, laden with posies and lessons that grab two biblical mothers out of the Bible and put it together with a heartwarming epistle about compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, while plenty of other churches will just forge ahead with the fourth Sunday of Lent, reading about the man born blind this year, and still others will observe Laetare Sunday, focusing attention on our rejoicing, Laetare, with Jerusalem, drawing from the prophet Isaiah's invitation to us to rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her ruins, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. Whew. Most Sundays, I would simply dig into one or another of the lessons we read and focus our attention on a single message easy to grasp. But since we've been examining how things come together, how we orchestrate our distinct voices and themes and gestures and expressions that constitute shared Sunday morning worship, I want to propose a way of seeing in the bracing variety of theologies in play this Sunday a sort of liturgical poem, a fiction, a made meaning in which we can recognize complementary harmonies in the chords of faith among the swirling themes that our church calendar tosses at us. So we begin by remembering, for some will be put out if we let it out of sight, if we let it escape our notice, that we observe Mothering Sunday today. We remember mothering for all that is best about mothers. And that's why today we read from the letter to the Colossians that we should clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, qualities that people have often associated with mums. But we should add to that the ferocity of love that stands up for children, the determination that unfairness and injustice be eradicated for all, the pride that lifts up and glorifies our young people's accomplishments, the steadfastness that stands by youth who haven't yet carved out their own particular flavor of integrity and wisdom. Now, these qualities don't belong exclusively to mothers. All of us may participate in them to a greater or lesser extent, and some mothers aren't so good at these as are others. Indeed, some mothers absent themselves physically or emotionally or both from those who need and trust them. And some mothers bring down misery on anyone who depends on them, a particularly bitter misery, since we have such great hopes for the best in our mums. Mothers hand down their best qualities to us, and sometimes they hand down their suffering to us, often in our helplessness and ignorance. But in church, in this house of God, we aim our spirits heavenward with forgiveness and patience, with gratitude and charity. On Mothering Sunday, we uphold all that is best in the bearing and upbringing and encouraging of children, with the honesty to confess that that's not always what we find. We may say the same for Jerusalem, a city of peace, the mother city of the worship of the one God, the Jerusalem we rejoice with in our Laetare observance. The earthly Jerusalem falls prey to the weaknesses of we humans who inhabit Mount Zion. We boast, we covet, we enslave, injure, and kill. We mistrust. We imagine evil. We abuse those different from us on the very mountain from which we look out upon the land of promise, the site of a house of prayer for all nations, all peoples. And of course there are reasons. Some of us have suffered at the hands of others, just as our foremothers did, and out of our wounds, we feel the temptation to lash out at those who hurt us. And if we can't reach those who hurt us, maybe we lash out at bystanders, at school children, just to inflict suffering, as if making other people suffer might alleviate our grief. And so at the end of all things, when God weighs all hearts and heals all wounds, we will know a new Jerusalem, in which love and peace prevail at last, where the lion and the lamb will lie down in peace together. And you may have noticed a third mother whom I have not mentioned, our own mothers, Jerusalem, our mother city, and now also Mary, the mother of our Lord, of whom we read in today's gospel lesson. As Prior Christopher Jameson said in a Sunday evening sermon last week at the University Church, we know Mary not as Milady, but as Our Lady. For the whole church are her daughters and sons. She it is to whom Simeon prophesied that a sword would pierce her own heart, and she it is who stood by her son's cross at his death, fulfilling Simeon's word. She embraces all who find in her a source of hope, of comfort, of love that endures through hardship. Our Lady, Mother of God and Mother of the Church, shows us a steadfastness and a blessedness to which we can all aspire, into which we all can grow. So this morning, our church remembers Mother's personal and universal, present and past and future, radiant on the horizon of hope. For the many of us for whom mothering brings troubling thoughts or painful memories, for the many of us who can no longer thank mothers whom we loved dearly and who brought us with their love to where we stand today, for all, we share these posies as a sign of respect and appreciation for all that is best in their role, and we raise up the promise that one day we all will know the kindness and love of a divine motherly presence. For those who worship Jesus, Son of Mary, we give unimpeachably biblical thanks for his mother, full of grace, blessed among all women. For those of us who mourn the streets of cities running with the blood of non-combatant women and children, we fix our hearts on that city of peace, on New Jerusalem, where the sons and daughters of Sarah and Hagar can lay down their swords together, where all their children can play together without hatred or fear. For Mothering Sunday, we pray for all mothers, all children, all who love peace, in the words God spoke by Isaiah the prophet, Laetare Jerusalem et conventum facite omnes qui diligitis eam. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. As a mother comforts her child, so I, God, will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.